I think it's going well so far. I think it's going well. I always like a change in worship setting for the season. It draws attention to it and helps us remember. Things are a little bit different than they were in the past. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the people had found a beautiful place to live. They'd gathered from the east, and they found a spot in what's called the Fertile Crescent, in between the Tigris and the Euphrates in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. They gathered all in one place. It had not been too long since the flood had destroyed the earth, and the people now gathered together. They spoke one language. They had all things in common. And they were pretty comfortable now. But what usually happens to people when they get comfortable? When they're all gathered together, celebrating their own accomplishments, they get comfortable and they forget. They forget what they had just been through not long before in the great flood. They forget. They forget about the God who has taken care of them and provided for them. They forget the God who loves them. And they turn inward and focus on their own accomplishments, their own glory. Here the people gather together and they're just beginning to realize how great and powerful they could be. Let's make a name for ourselves, they say. Let's celebrate our own uniqueness, our own personhood. Let's be like God. Let's build a tower. That'll show the accomplishments. That'll show our technology. That'll show how great and smart and powerful we are. So let's build a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that maybe we could dwell with God up there. So they begin the process of building a tower to make a name for themselves on the earth so that everybody would know just how great and powerful they were. It's a common human problem, this reveling in our own abilities and accomplishments. It doesn't sound a whole lot different from 21st century America. This, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build towers and put our names on them so that everybody knows how great and powerful we are. How many towers, how many skyscrapers are built with people's names on them, in order to let everybody know just how great and powerful we are? It happened before the flood, they had been so great and powerful that they became, as God said, exceedingly evil in everything they did. It's not a far stretch from when people gather together to make a name for themselves that evil lies close at hand. So God, some would say out of fear perhaps, came down and said, oh, we don't want these people to be like us. We better do something about it. No. He dispersed them, made them speak all different languages, and so they went to the four corners of the earth. It was out of grace that God did that. Before, when he had let it go, well, that was pre-flood. He wasn't about to do it again. If they had grown too evil, exceedingly evil, he would have to destroy them again, and he didn't want to do that. It was out of grace. It was out of divine mercy that he came down and dispersed them to save them. To save them maybe from themselves. And he dispersed them across the earth. We don't always see God's actions as merciful or gracious in that sense. And I'm sure the people who were dispersed didn't see it that way either. They left off building the tower. They couldn't even finish it. God is gracious to us in ways that we can't even possibly imagine. The divine goodness and mercy of God, we just don't know. Sometimes we can see it, but most often we can't. The people in the land of Shinar certainly didn't, as they were dispersed across the earth. God, in his wisdom, was preparing them, preparing the earth, perhaps, for something that was to come. Now, if we were to fast forward to Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost, we have the people all gathered in one place. Luke records that there were about 120 of the disciples and their followers all gathered in one place. Plus, they're in Jerusalem during the festival, so there were people from all four corners of the earth all gathered in one place. Sound familiar? They're all gathered together, but for a completely different reason. They weren't there to make a name for themselves. They were there in worship. They were there to honor the festivals and the feasts that were set up. They were there to take care and do their due diligence as devoted followers of God. God in his mercy had dispersed them, and now God in his grace and love had gathered them, because something important was about to happen. As the disciples are gathered together, the Holy Spirit comes. The fulfillment of the promise that Jesus had said, I'm going to send the helper, I'm going to send the comforter. He's going to come and he's going to be with you. And here comes the Holy Spirit. Mighty rushing wind, the noise, the sound, the flame, and then the languages. Again, the languages. God had dispersed those languages over the four corners of the earth, and now he gathers those languages together in one place, in Jerusalem. And the fishermen from Galilee start speaking. They start telling of the mighty works of God in Turkish, in Iranian, in the Iraqi language, in Egyptian, in Libyan, speaking the language of the island of Crete. These guys didn't know where the island of Crete was. How in the world were they speaking the language of these islanders from the Mediterranean? Here they are, gathered together. The Holy Spirit opening their mouths to speak these words, and opening the ears of the people to hear them. God in his grace and his love fulfilled what he had started in Babel, but began something new in Jerusalem. See, these people who had heard this word in their own language were going to go home after the festival. So they were going to take the language. They were going to take the stories that they had heard, the mighty works of God told in their own language as nobody had ever done before, and they were going to go home and tell the people what they heard. Once again, God preparing the soil for what was to come. And down through the centuries, the mighty works of God have been told in countless languages. I don't know how many. I should have done a little research to find out how many languages the Bible has been translated into. A lot. a lot of languages. Languages we have never heard of before. When I was in Alaska, I was on St. Lawrence Island. And there in St. Lawrence Island, there are two villages, Gamble and Savunga, and they spoke Yupik. And some of them spoke Yupik and Aleut, and some of them spoke Siberian Yupik from Russia. And we sang, "How Great Thou Art," in Inupiat, in Yupik, Siberian Yupik, and English. I'd never heard those languages before. It was amazing that God, in his infinite wisdom, had allowed his story, his word, to reach the ears of the Siberian Yupik. Amazing. And it all started there in Jerusalem, on that day when those languages took it out to the different places and began to share the story. And here today in Eugene, Oregon, you're hearing the mighty works of God in your own language, which graciously happens to be the one that I speak. It has come to your ears. God, in his grace and mercy, has sent the Holy Spirit on down through the ages through his word so that you, here today in 2019 in Eugene, Oregon, about as far away from Jerusalem as you can get, are hearing what God has done for you. And that same Holy Spirit that rested on the disciples in tongues of flame is in you. So that when you hear those words, they stick. Those words are there with you. You know the mighty works of God. You know what he has done for you. And if you don't, hold on a second and I'll tell you. Because in the language that I speak, in English, the language that I speak, the mighty works of God are this: that he sent his son Jesus Christ to live, to die, and to rise again, so that you, again, here in Eugene, Oregon, 2019, can know that your sins and the sins of the world have been forgiven. That you, sitting here today at Grace Lutheran Church, know that your sins not only are forgiven, but they are remembered no more. And that you and God, creator of the universe, are connected one to another through his son, Jesus Christ. And that you who have begun singing Divine Service Setting 5 today, know that the Holy Spirit is with you as your helper, as your comforter, as your guide, as the one who prays for you when you don't know what to pray, the one who is with you when you need him the most. Hear the mighty works of God, children of God. That is the amazing thing about Pentecost, that it started at Babel, and through the thousands of years in between, the Holy Spirit was at work, and then at Jerusalem, and then the thousands of years in between, and here today. Those promises are for you. That Holy Spirit is for you. And the great works of God are for you. So now the question comes. The people in Jerusalem heard the great works of God and went back home and shared the stories. I leave it up to you. You've heard the great works of God. Share the story. tell of them. Let others know. In your own words, in your own language. If it happens to be different than mine, that's fine. Share it. Tell it. Let the Holy Spirit do the work through you, in you, around you, sometimes despite you. And the kingdom grows. Amen. May the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and our minds forever and ever. Amen. In response to hearing the word is our sermon hymn, number 490.